The Mishnah tells us on Samach Zayin in the days, Mish Asa Kardaikus V'Amar Kisvu Gedli Ishti Lo Amar Klum, that if a person has been overtaken by this kind of funny mental illness, he's unable to authorize the writing of a get, and such an authorization is meaningless. The Gemara Daf Ayin Amud Beis has a machlokes Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. What happens if a person made such an authorization when he was in a coherent state, and then that state changed? So Amud Reish Lakish goes to Nosen Get La Alter. That if he originally authorized the writing of a get, and then he was Asur Kardaikus, he can still write the get on the basis of the initial authorization, even though his mental state has since changed. And Yochanan says, Ein kosin elo l'kishayish dafa, you're only allowed to write the get once he's back in a state of being a bardas. And then we're explained that that's based on the machlokas as to whether we view this individual as Dumi Diyashen. Do we view him as a person who's essentially Pikech, essentially a fully intelligent individual, but he's just sleeping, which would not be a Minia to writing a get on the basis of his authorization, or do we view him as a Shota? Fine. So it's well known, the Machlokas Rambam Tor, whether the impediment to writing a get on the basis of an authorization of a person who was mentally competent at the time of the authorization and then becomes a Shota, is that a Psul D'Oraisa or Psul D'Rabbanan? Sarama writes in Perek Beis of Gerish and Halacha Tesvav, Perek Beis Tesvav, that this is considered Harez Pasul. Pasul in Lashon HaRambam, as Rambam tells us in the beginning of Hilchos Gerishin, Pasul is a code word for a Psul D'Rabbanan. Whenever the Rambam writes Batel, that means it's a Psul Min HaTorah, and whenever the Rambam writes Pasul, that means it's a Psul D'Rabbanan. So the Rambam seems to say that this Psul is D'Rabbanan, and the Tor, in Simen Kuf Kaf Aleph, writes Eino Klum. Eino Klum means it's not a get even Min HaTorah. The various approaches in Achronim to discuss, to explain this machlokas, but we'll just focus for a moment on the explanation of the Stipler. Stipler writes in Kilos Yaakov Simen Kaf in Gittin that fundamentally both the Rambam and the Torah are of agreement, in agreement, that if a Shota, are in agreement that the Shaliach appointed by an individual takes the persona of the Mishaleach. So if the Mishaleach is a Shota, the Shaliach takes the persona of the Mishaleach as a Shota, and therefore cannot execute a get. The question is, what happens here where the person at the time that he was Mimana the Sofer, the time that he appointed the Shaliach, he was a Bardas, and now he becomes a Shota? So the Rambam is of the opinion that fundamentally, a shota can affect halachic matters. Fundamentally, a shota is not totally removed from affecting a halachically significant matter, but a shota has a problem of being a bardas. Practically speaking, he lacks das and lacks the ability to affect a halachic action. So what happens if you have someone who gave the authorization when he was a bardas, and then he becomes a shota? So since at the time that he gave the authorization, he was a bardas, so the shaliach is able to act on that initial authorization, even though since then the mishaliach became a shota. So fundamentally, a shota at a theoretical level could affect an action, if not for the fact that he's lacking das. So in this situation, the shota had the das that was necessary at the time that he was a pikech. Now he became a shota, so it doesn't prevent the shaliach, who was authorized by him in a state of pichlus, in affecting that which he authorized on a deraisa level. And the Torah argues, and the Torah assumes, that when it comes to a shota, there's a fundamental psul, and that fundamental psul transcends all other matters, and therefore a shaliach cannot act on the authorization of an individual, even when he was a pikech, when he authorized, if he is now a shota. The way the Rabbi Chanan embellishes this explanation, Rabbi Chanan came first, but he works with the same assumptions. So in explaining the position of the Torah, Rabbi Chanan writes in Kovitz Aras Simen Kavtes Os Gimel that a shota has two fundamental flaws. Number one, the action of a shota is considered a la bardas. So his action is ineffective, but that is analogous to a pikeach who is sleeping. So the person sleeping, his action is ineffective. He's not fundamentally removed from the possibility of affecting something. He's just in a temporary state where he cannot affect an action. And then a shota fundamentally is pasul as well. Shota b'metzias has a chisaron of being a bardas and cannot affect any halachically significant action. So every now and then we have a situation in which we have to assess whether a person who presents himself as being mentally competent at the time that he authorizes a get, where a get is going to be delivered al yedei shaliach, so there's going to be some lag between the authorization and the delivery, so sometimes we have to assess whether there's a concern that this person is going to not be considered a bardas anymore by the time we deliver a get. So every now and then we may deal with some certain major mental health issues where there is such a concern. We had one case a couple years ago. We were dealing with an individual who had early onset Alzheimer's, and his mental state was such that he was in a position where he could basically have a conversation with you, but he would forget the conversation a few minutes later. So let's say he were to authorize a get. So right now he understands that we're authorizing a get, we're going to divorce my wife. And he knows what that means, but 5 minutes later, he will have forgotten that you had that conversation, and then is that an impediment to the execution of a get? So Rabbi Willig had a correspondence about this with Rav Zalman Nechemiah Goldberg. Rav Zalman Nechemiah has an article in Tchumin, volume 7, in which he addressed related issues. Rav Zalman Nechemiah suggested that a person in that state may have the halachic status of a pesi. What is a pesi? So the Rambam tells us in Hilchos Eidos, Perek Tes, Halacha Yud, Hapisayim Beyoser, super pesi, She'enan Makirin Devar Masosim Zezah. So they're of low-level intelligence. A Shota is someone who is deranged, someone who has major Machlokas Yishonim, whether you need all the categories of the Gemara, one of the categories of the Gemara, none of the categories of the Gemara in the beginning of Chagiga. But a Shota is fundamentally labardas. A pesi is einam akir and dvar masosim says eveloy avinu in yane hadavar kedera shem avin and shayar amar. He's of very low IQ, so he doesn't understand where you have contradictions. He doesn't understand the way the world works, as most people do. V'chein amuvuhalim v'nechpazim v'daitam amishtagim v'daitam biyoser harei kol elu b'chlal ashotim. So someone who is super uneasy. Mishtagei b'daito, that's also b'chlal ashota. So the Rambam says this in the context of Hilchos Eidos. The Sma writes in Choshem Mishpat Simen Kafei, Simen Lamed Hei Sifkatan Kafei, that it could be a pesi. The Rambam is telling you that pesi is considered b'chlal ashota l'nyanei Eidos. But other matters of halacha, pesi may not be a shota. You have to evaluate everything on a case-by-case basis. So someone with a low IQ, you have to figure out what does he understand, what doesn't he understand. But there's no absolute soul or absolute exclusion of a pesi from all halachically significant matters that a person needs, that a person could affect. So Zalman Nechemiah suggested that there may be someone in this kind of a state is considered a pesi. He's of low intelligence. He doesn't quite understand everything that goes on. But if you explain it to him at the moment, he could understand it. So even if a few minutes later he forgets the conversation that you had, but that's not fundamentally a shota. So in that situation, the get had to be delivered by the shaliach for technical reasons, but we were able to have a team together with the husband after the authorization for all the minuyim to make sure that he was basically still of sound mind until we delivered the get an hour later, whatever it was. And they kept on talking to the husband to make sure that he understood to the best of his ability what we were doing. We were doing a get, right? And then 5 minutes later, we were doing a get. And he was able to, with reminders, understand what he was doing throughout. This machlokes, regarding a pikeach and a shtata and the shliach acting on his behalf, may also be relevant. To the question of what is the status of a contemporary cheresh, right? Cheresh of the katan is a classic. People are considered lab bardas. What's the status of a cheresh regarding a get? So the Gemara tells us on Ayin Aleph, Amr Rav Kahana Marav, at the top line, So Rashi explains, we're not talking about before for the Gemara in a few lines. Classic Chayrish is Eina Shemei Veina Medaber. A classic Chayrish in Allah is a deaf mute. If a person, the Gemara explains, is a Shemei Veina Medaber, or Medaber Veina Shemeya, so he's considered a Lachik Pardas, he's not considered a Chayrish. So the Gemara here in the Meir of Khan is not talking about an Eina Shemei Veina Medaber, it's talking about a level above that, where a person could be shamei ve'ena medaber, but he can communicate mitoch haksav. So here, Amar Rav Kana Amar Rav, chayrish yachol ledaber mitoch haksav, calls for the nosen gael ishto. Fine. The machlokas here, Tosus and the Rashba, in relative terms, is there's also a notion we had in the Gemara earlier of harkana, of nodding. So is ksiva a better expression of das than harkana, or is harkana a better expression of das than ksiva? That's Machlokas Tosus and the Rashba here, Machlokas, the Bach and the Taz, the Halacha. That's not our topic at the moment. So if you have a Chayrish who is Medaber, Shamei Ve'en Medaber, so that's not a Halacha Chayrish. He's a Bardas and he can authorize a get. The only problem is, how are you going to do it if you can't speak? So then he can authorize a get Mitoch HaKzav. But what about a Chayrish Eino Shamei Ve'eno Medaber? So that the Gemara tells us in Yevamos, the Mishnah, Yevamos and Dafka Fubeis, that an Eino Shamei Ve'eno Medaber, Min HaTorah, there's no Kiddushin and there's no Geirushin. Midrabanan, there's a Takana, a rabbinic dispensation or allowance to have Kiddushin Rabbanan. So, Kishem Shakonsa Remiza Kach Megarship Remiza, a Chayrish who's Eino Shamei Ve'eno Medaber can affect Kiddushin Bermiza through whatever signage he can do, through whatever he can motion, he can point. So that can affect Kiddushin Midrabanan, and it could affect Geirushin Midrabanan as well. The Sugya there in Yevamos indicates that, Rashi references it here, that if a person is going to be a Chayrish at the time of Kiddushin, so that's only Kiddushin, sorry, if a person is a Pikech at the time of Kiddushin, so that's Kiddushin min HaTorah, and then he becomes a Chayrish, an Eino Shamei Ve'eno Medaber, so then he's stuck, because now he's only able to authorize a Gemi Derabanan, and that's not going to help to get rid of the Kiddushin min HaTorah. So that would be a very difficult situation. Okay, so when it comes to... So we'll talk in a few moments about what's considered a Chayrish Lemaisa.
Why don't we say in that case, call the Mekadesh and the Rabbanan Mekadesh, and the Rabbanan can undo it the way that you undo other Sugyas as well?
So most Rishonim assume that Afkeinu was only in vogue, at least the Rashba in Gittin, in the Aflamid Dalad, Lamed Gimel, the Rashba writes that we only invoke Afkeinu in the limited situations in which the Gemara invokes it. The Gemara has Afkeinu in four or five places. The Rashba says that we only invoke Afkeinu where the Gemara invokes Afkeinu. It's not an absolute license to invoke it whenever we feel the need. It could be that such a rare situation that it never came up or it wasn't suggested to invoke Afkeinu. I think we generally assume, like that Rashba, that we're not licensed to invoke Afkeinu at will. It has to be one of the specific cases where the Gemara brings it up, and the Gemara never brought it up in that context. Okay. So before we talk about what's considered a Chayrish, there is a separate Seder Haget for a Chayrish. Let's talk about a Chayrish who was Mekadesh Bermiza, so it was only Kiddushin Derabanan, so now we're going to affect a Gemi Derabanan. So in Simon Kuf Kuf Aleph, in Evan Ezer, the Nosei Kalim quote a Rabbeinu Yerucham. The Rabbeinu Yerucham is quoted in the Beit Shmuel, Simon Kuf Kuf Aleph, Sif Katan Tes. What's the issue? So Rabbeinu Yerucham had the following nusach. Our standard nusach haget is from the Lashon Habal. B'Sheni B'Shabbos, whatever the date. I so-and-so, Omid Khan B'New York. So the get is B'Lashon Habal to the Isha. The Rabbeinu Yerucham had a nusach which is not B'Lashon Habal, but rather B'Lashon HaBezdin. not that the Baal is Megarish, but the Bezdin is affecting the get. So Machlokes, among the Mefarshim, whether Ben Yerucham intended to present a different Nusach HaGet, or is he simply presenting a different Nusach Harsha, a different Nusach of the Ptur for Get Cheresh. That's the Machlokes between, among others, the Tosas Yantiv on the one hand, and the Nachlas Shiva, the Tzemach Tzedek Lubavitch, as to whether the Nusach HaGet of Ben Yerucham is a different Nusach HaGet, a Nusach HaGet which is signed by three Dayanim, as opposed to two Edim, a Nusach HaGet where it's the Bezin that's affecting the Gerish and on behalf of the Cheresh, or is it simply a Nusach for the Ptur? The Get is the same language as the regular Get, but when Bezin issues the documentation is in a slightly different language. Because of this Machlokes as to whether there's a separate Get done for a Cheresh, our practice is to be Machmir, and to write two gittin for a cheresh. Where we have a cheresh, there's a whole seder get cheresh. So our practice to write two separate gittin. The first get is written b'lashon haba, like a regular get. And the second get is written b'lashon bezdin, and signed by three dayanim as opposed to signed by two edim. The sefer of record, when it comes to seder get cheresh, is a sefer entitled Meleches Cheresh. It was written by Rav Yecheskel Chepetz, who was the uncle of the Or Samech, and that is the standard Nusach Seder Get that we use when it comes to a Get Chevesh. But our practice is, I think the pretty universal practice is, that when it comes to a Get Chevesh, we're machmir to do both Gitin, one like the standard Nusach Get, and one the Nusach Get Chevesh of the Rebbeinu Yerucham, at least Misafik, because we're not sure exactly what the Iker HaDin is. Okay. So that being the case, what is considered a cheresh bizmanenu? So the issue that was discussed by Achronim going back 150, 200 years is it used to be a cheresh with ena shemei ve'ena medaber was unable to function in society at all. There were no educational options available for such a person, and people understood why such a person was considered a lab bardas. But going back some 150, 200 years ago, there began to be options for educating Chershim, who is Eina Shemei Veina Medaber. So the question that was discussed in the Tshuva literature of the time is whether such a person is considered a halachic Chersh or not. Do we say that since, practically speaking, they are a fully functional society and they conduct themselves as a regular bardas, do we have the right to consider them to have a different halachic status as a functional bardas? So there's a tshuva of the Marasham. Tshuva Marasham Chelik Beis Siman Kuf Mem, Chelik Beis Siman Kuf Mem, who dealt with the situation of a woman who was a kuka liyibam with a yabam who was an Eina Shomei Ve'Eina Medaber. So he was born as a deaf mute. He never spoke. He never was able to hear. But he learned in one of these new institutions for the deaf, and he was functioning as a relatively a functional member of society. So the Marsham was nota lahakel over there to treat such a person as a bardas, and therefore to allow for a chalitza from this the diabim, who is an inishameya ve'eno medaber. So assumed as well the Divrei Chaim of Tzanz, Evan Ezra Cheli Beis Siman Ayin Beis, Evan Ezra Cheli Beis Siman Ayin Beis, based on a Rambam Perish HaMishnayis. The Rambam writes Perish HaMishnayis in Trumas Perek Aleph, the very first Mishnah, that based on the medical knowledge that he represents, it is inconceivable that a person could speak without being able to hear. So if this Eina Shemei Ve'Eina Medaber was able to be educated to a point where he's able to articulate something, so then it can't be that he's really an Eina Shemeya, because if he was really an Eina Shemeya, he would be an absolute Eina Medaber. So if he's able to speak a little bit, some mistama, he may be very hearing impaired, but he must have some kind of ability to hear, which would render him a halachic bardas. So that was the opinion of the Marsham and the Divrei Chaim of Tzanz, that if a person is educated in such an institution and minimally is able to articulate something, So then that person, and perhaps according to Marsham, even if he's unable to articulate anything, but he seems to be intelligent, then he would not have the halachic status of a cheresh. On the other hand, there's a tshuva of the Tzemach Tzedek, not Lubavitch, the earlier Tzemach Tzedek, the earlier Achron, Simon Ayin Zayin, who discussed a certain tailor in town who was an Eina Shermeva Eina Medaber, but he was able to daven properly, he was able to conduct business, and he seemed to be a functional member of society. Nevertheless, the Tzemach Tzedek, the Kadmon, is of the opinion that Chevish is an absolute halachic category. So even though this person seems to be intelligent, but there's Ki'ilu, Xeris HaKasiv, an absolute exclusion of any Chevish, of any deaf-mute, from functioning halachically. The way Rishon Mazaman expresses this opinion in Mincha Shlomo Kama Simin Lama Dalet is that Chazal understood that if a person is Eina Shemeiv Eina Medaber, so then he can't take full responsibility for his actions, even if in our society we don't view someone as we don't view such a person as such. Meaning, just like there's kind of a low plug by a katan, you could have an extremely intelligent 11-year-old who strikes us as a bardas. But there's a halachic category of katan which has a low plug, that any katan is excluded from something that requires das. So even if he's the most intelligent, the biggest goon in the world, lemaisa, he's a katan, and he's subject to that halachic exclusion. So Shlomo Zalman says the same thing by a deaf-mute. If someone is Eina Shemeiv Eina Medaber, even though, as far as we're concerned, he's the most intelligent person in the world, and he can adequately function in society, but there's still an absolute impediment for considering him as a bardas. The Maharam Shik is of this opinion as well. The Maharam Shik in Simon Ayin Tes expresses it as follows, that if a person is born as a Eino Shomeiv Eino Medaber, and he's educated in a educational facility that's able to deal with his needs, so even though he's able to function, he's only able to function as a omed al gaba, meaning he's able to do what he's told to do, and that's ke'ilu, you have a gadol who's standing next to him whispering in his ear, this is what you need to do. So that kind of function of gadol omed al gaba, so in certain areas of halacha that works, in certain areas of halacha that doesn't work. So in theory, if you have a eino bardas with a gadol omed al gaba, so he's allowed to write a get. So he can function as a sofer. So he says, in theory, this cheresh, who is educated in such a an institution, so he could, in theory, write again, because it's ke'ilu, you have a gadol sitting next to him, whispering what he's supposed to do. But that doesn't help to authorize a writing of a get in his behalf. It doesn't help to authorize the sofer, to authorize Adam, to authorize the shaliach if necessary, because that requires a absolute das, where Omer al-Gaba doesn't help. That's his assessment. What does it mean that a cheresh is educated? He doesn't have any independent knowledge of how to act. It's still ke'ilu, there's a gadol omed al gabav. Rav Asher Weiss, in a tshuva chelik beis minchas asher, actually it's a tshuva written to me, about a case that we'll maybe get to in a little while, so he thinks that the Maharam Shik never met such a person. He says, if the Maharam Shik had met Eino Shemeiv Eino Medaber who was educated in such an institution, so he would have understood that it's not just that he's like a gadol amin al gabav. It's not just that he's parroting whatever he was taught, but he was actually taught, such a person could be taught to conduct himself as a normal functional human being, not that he's just being whispered to at every step what you're supposed to do. Okay. Separate issue, which I'm not going to get into now, but further machlokas achronim, let's say you have a person who's born with an Eino Shomeiv Eino Medaber, ostensibly, and then he has a hearing aid installed, or some kind of device that can that allows him to hear. So what's the halachic status of that hearing aid? Does that make him into a Shomeiv? Do we assume that if he's able to hear at all, even with the hearing aid, there must be a culture who have hearing that that existed originally that maybe he wasn't able to utilize so well, that could be improved on by the hearing aid, but if there's absolutely zero hearing ability, then a hearing aid won't help. Is that accurate? Right, I'm talking about cochlear implants. That's a different parsha. Right.
The person doesn't hear at all, and then you
Right.
So you hear beeps.
Right.
It's actually even better. They can do a cochlear nucleus implant,
right,
electrodes directly into the brain,
mm-hmm,
bypassing the ear.
Right.
And the person could simulate the ear as well. So the person has zero hearing, but mm-hmm, then you can recreate the hearing, and they can have open set talking. They just talk normally, like they function like normal human beings.
Right. But before cochlear implants started,
if you had no hearing, a hearing aid wouldn't work.
Right. Right, so the original discussion in post-COVID, like Ramosha's tshuva, is before cochlear implants, so he was talking about a hearing aid. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, okay, so that's... right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. So Lemaisa, I think the practice of Batei Din is to be machmir, to assume that a cheresh, at least the chumra, an enosh rei v'enam adabra, we should treat as a cheresh. So for example, even though someone's fully intelligent, but he's an enosh rei v'enam adabra, we would still do the seder get cheresh, just to be sure. Shafter is strongly of the opinion that the intelligent person is not a cheresh at all. Generally, the practice of Batei Din is to be machmir, at least when it comes to these matters. If you're in a situation where you have to make an absolute achra, so then there's what to talk about whether you could be makel and assume that such a person is considered a cheresh. So one of those situations where such a determination may be necessary is a case that we dealt with a number of years ago. The question was raised as to whether a cheresh, and Enosh Shemei Veinu Medaber, is able to authorize a get to be delivered Ayidei Shaliach. So we know that there's an institution of Gerishin for a Cheresh Midrabanan, that's the Gemara in Yevamos Kufi Beis that we referenced earlier. But was that institution just for the actual act of Gerishin, or did the institution of Get Cheresh encompass other ancillary matters as well? Meaning, in general, we assume that a Labar Das is not able to appoint a Shaliach. But included in that Takana Derabanan of a Get Cheresh, was there also such a ability for a Cheresh to appoint a Shaliach, which otherwise he wouldn't be able to do? So that's a discussion in the literature. In the Sefer Melechas Cheresh that we referenced earlier, he quotes a discussion about this, that Tzemach Tzedek Lubavitch, Evan Ezer Simon Kuf Yuches, assumes that it's all part of the same package deal, that when Chazal instituted a notion of Gerishin for a Cheresh, they also instituted all the ancillaries, and you could be Megarish Ayidei Shaliach as well. But the Melechas Cheresh isn't so convinced about this, and he thinks that there's no evidence that there's such a Takana. Excuse me, maybe they're only misakin the minimum necessary to allow for a cheresh to be Megarish's wife, but not necessarily anything more than that. So that was the Melechas Cheresh ends up being machmer on this, that you cheresh cannot appoint a shaliach. The Chubas Avnei Nezer is makel about this, at least the Malachim Sarach. Avnei Nezer in Simen Kuf Nun Aleph. The Gemara tells us in Samach Dalin in our Masechta that by Shitufei Mevoas Derabanan, a Katan is able to be Zochel Acherim. So when it comes to something that a Katan has a Shaykhus to, so then he can affect a Shlichus Bidrabanan. So the Avnei Nezer says, by the same token, if you have a cheresh who's affecting a get for himself, that's part of the takana, the rabbanon for get cheresh, so perhaps he could appoint a shaliach as well. This is discussed at least in two instances in the more recent tshuva literature. There's a tshuva of Rav Herzog, Heichal Yitzchak, Evan Ezer Chele Beis Simen Mem Zayin. Evan Ezer Chele Beis Simen Mem Zayin, about a case of a cheresh who was in Bucharest, who needed to send a get to his wife in Tel Aviv. And the only way of doing it was Ayidei Shaliach, so refers like with Mekel to allow it to get Ayidei Shaliach, and he says you have a Svek Sveka. Number one, this is an intelligent Cheresh, so number one, So maybe he's not even a lach chayrish to begin with. Maybe he's a bardas. And even if you'll tell me that he's not a halachi bardas, then maybe shlichus works for a chayrish. And even though it's not a sfek sveka mishapich, but since it's only derabbanan, maybe you don't need a sfek sveka mishapich, so whatever lumped in sfek sveka you want to deal with. So bottom line, refers to Gus Bekel in that case to allow a get to be delivered by the shliach for a chayrish. Similarly, there's a tshuva in the tshuva's Emek Halacha, Rabbi Lehem's grandfather, Chele Bey's Simon Lamed Zayin, about a get chayrish where the husband was in St. Louis and the wife is in Canada. So he assumed that that he could appoint a shliach either because he assumed that Kishem Shakon Sib Remiza Kach Megar Sib Remiza, so the institution of Kiddushin for Chayrishib Remiza, the institution of Gerishin for Chayrishib is Remiza. So if Remiza works, there's no reason Remiza shouldn't work for Shlichus as well. So he's taking it out of that original Machlokas that the institution of Aget Chayrish included the ability for Shlichus as well. Now, even if you were to assume that you can go with this approach and you can allow a chayrish to appoint a shliach, you have another issue to deal with, which is what we mentioned earlier, that our practice is for a chayrish you write two gittin. So anytime you write two gittin, that's dama shayla. We generally assume that if you write two gittin, you can't deliver the ma'ideh shliach. What's the issue? That if you're going to write two gittin, you run into problems of breira. So which get is the correct get? So we already saw you already saw earlier the Masechta. Daf Samach Gilman Beis. So Tosa there writes, the Gemara has Kosim Nenosin Afilu Meya Pa'amim. So Tosa writes, Nir Luri, Hecha de Lenevet Aget Ela She Misupakin Bo Imnasa Ketiku Nimlav De'en La Sosacher. That where a get was lost, was not lost, sorry. But there's some suffix as to whether the get was done properly 100%. So then you shouldn't write another get. Shrei asu shlichusan. Imu kasher. So what's the issue? The Baal authorizes the writing of a get that's going to be kasher. So what happens if you wrote a get which is kasher l'rov hadeos, but you have some suffix that maybe according to some opinion it wasn't kasher. So that authorization may not automatically extend to another get that you want to write me suffix. You authorize the kasher get. So according to Rov Poskim, the get you wrote was kasher. So you're no longer authorized to write another get, even if you have a suffix in halacha. So that's why Tosa says, the fikach tov l'lamid is habal, sheyitzav l'asas k'mo sheyirtu ad sheyitzim in asafik. So that's why the appropriate nusach is that you authorize the sofer to write as many gittin until he's comfortable that the get is kasher l'chol adeyas, until you resolve any potential suffix situation. So that's potentially a breira issue where you authorize the writing of a get, so which get is the proper get? So our practice is that lichathila, so usually the authorization allows for the sofer to write as many gittin as he needs to. In the event that we do make a mistake, so then to cover all bases, we have the Baal make another authorization just in case to authorize the specific get to avoid any problem with Breira. But the Noda Behuda writes, the Noda Behuda writes that when it comes to if you write two gittin, sometimes you have a situation, it's a rare that we do this, a little bit more common in the Chassidish Shabbat Din than by us. But in the classic sources, there are instances in which you write two gittin because there's a suffix. One of the classic cases is, let's say, you don't know whether the father's name is Yeshayahu or Shayahu. So that's one of the classic cases that the Postum discussed where you can write two gittin. So how do you write two gittin? So then it'll be the sense. You have to be very careful to avoid any problem with Breira. You're not going to let anyone know that there is a possibility of another get down the road. So you start with get number one. And then the get's given, the husband gives the get to the wife, and then the Masadir says, oh, you know what? I'm not sure if we did that properly. Let's do another one just in case. So then, at the time that the first get was written, the husband didn't know in the back of his mind there's going to be another get. So there's no Shiloh Breira that maybe his intent is for get number two. He's doing one get wholeheartedly. And then the Masadir says, it's better the Adam should know either. Better the Sofer shouldn't know. No one should know we're going to do another get. The Masader gets secret, and then after the first get is written, so then you tell everyone else, by the way, we're doing another get. So that's why you can't do that if you're going to deliver the get in Ayidei Shliach, because there's no way of, unless you're going to do one get and deliver it Ayidei Shliach and call the husband back 2 weeks later to do another get, so that's impractical. That's why the Nodim Yudah says, if you write two get, then you can't do it Ayidei Shliach. So that would be theoretically an issue here as well. When it comes to a get cheresh, if you're going to, even if you assume that you can authorize a get for a cheresh ayde shliach, how are you going to get around this problem of two getin? So theoretically, you may be able to get around it as well because lemaisa is only lechumra. So we assume that the real get is probably the proper get, and the Rabbeinu Yerucham get is lechumra. So there may be some way of getting around that as well. Bottom line, unfortunately, in this particular case, it never panned out because the woman was unwilling to receive the get under all circumstances, and it's still pending the resolution of that situation. But so we didn't really have to deal with the lemaisa, but that was the issue that I corresponded with the Rav Asher about. You can look at his tshuva in the in Chelik Beis. Thank you.